Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to everyone listening, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 25 of the Well-Read Podcast. I am your host, Megan Bierke, aka The Real Bookish Writer. I am a reader, writer, bookseller, book festival goer, and I am and always have been obsessed with genre fiction. I was pretty ill this past week, so much so that I didn't read very much, so stay tuned next week for some book reviews. But today, let's jump right into our author interview. My guest today is a young adult fantasy and adult romance author. A native of South Louisiana, she is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author who officially began her writing career while waiting in between classes at the student lounge at Xavier University in Louisiana. Her books have been featured in O, the Oprah Magazine, Cosmopolitan, Entertainment Weekly, BuzzFeed, NPR, The Washington Post, and many more. When she is not writing in her favorite coffee shop, she spends most of her time reading, traveling the world, visiting Disney World, and trying to attend as many Broadway shows as her budget will allow. Please welcome Farah Rashan. Well, welcome, 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 Farah. I am so excited to talk with you. I love your stuff. I love romance. I love Disney. I love dogs. I love your stuff. So I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much. And how are you doing today?
I am well, and thank you for having me. I think we have a lot in common because I love dogs and I am obsessed over Disney as well. So
right. It's going to be a good conversation. That's totally. Dogs and Disney and books are pretty much yes. The majority of my personality. So I think we'll get along just fine.
Same. Just add in Broadway for me and you pretty much have just me as a person.
So, used to be a theater major and I went to school in Ashland, Oregon for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Love theater. Okay. So we're going to be fine.
Seriously. We're like, yeah.
Let's start this off with the same question I start every interview off with. It's why did you want to become a writer and how did it happen?
I never really had it in my head that I would become like a professional writer. I've just always been pretty good at it. In school, I was just always the kid who was like secretly very, very happy when we got a surprised essay, you know, pop quiz or something. Everyone else would be groaning and I would be like, yeah, because I knew that I would do well on it. I've just always been the type of person who could just like write my way out of everything. And it wasn't really until college, I would write little stories here and there, but it wasn't until college that I actually thought, hey, I may want to write a book, but that was still just something, you know, I just wanted to write it to see if I could do it. But then it was pretty fun. So I decided, decided a week after graduate school, I decided to pursue this as, you know, something more than just a hobby. So I kind of fell into it, or I guess, you know, gradually realized that maybe it was writing that I was really meant to do. It's not something I said, you know, at like 10 years old, I'm going to become a writer one day. Yeah.
Well, while you do write young adult, it looks like the majority of your books are romance and they are adult. So out of all the genres you could write, why romance? What is it about the genre? What made you want to go, these are the kinds of stories I want to tell?
That's another one of those funny things, because when I was in college, and I'm going to like date myself, I guess, because when I was in school, I used to in high school and stuff, I read like romance. My sister gave me a bunch of romances. My aunt had every Harlequin romance or Silhouette, one of those, like all of them. She had like 6,000 of them. So I would, you know, read some every now and then. But when I got to college, everyone was reading serious books. And if you were reading fiction, it's like the only acceptable fiction that you should be reading is the stuff that Oprah had on an Oprah book club, which were all like these horribly sad books. But if you want to be taken seriously, you know, you have to be reading that kind of fiction if you're reading fiction at all. It was still seen as like bad. But I was secretly still reading my romance books at the time. But when it came to writing, it never occurred to me to try to write a romance, because again, I should be writing something serious. So I was writing, my very first book was like this suspense thriller, legal type book. I know nothing about the law, which you would understand if you were to ever read that. Was just writing, you know, what I thought people would consider. Yes, these are the type of books, you know, that's going to be taken seriously. And as someone who is like such a champion of romance now and want people to take it seriously, to know that I was on the other side of that. I was one of those people who secretly did not, didn't see it in the way that I see it now, I should say. So no, I was not writing romance at first, but I met a bunch of readers, like back when they had these like chat groups and stuff, and AOL had what is what I ICQ or something. I can't even remember what the name of it was, but they were all romance readers. And when they found out I was writing, they just automatically assumed that I was writing romance because they knew that's what I read. And that was the, you know, like the light bulb. I was like, well, that's true. Why am I not? I'm not in college anymore. I'm not, you know, I don't have to try to explain myself to those people that I thought I had to explain myself to. I should be writing romance. And the very first romance I wrote, which again was like just horrible, but it was the most fun I've had like in forever. And that's when I knew, yeah, I don't care what anyone says. I am writing romance from now on. And I literally went to the other end of the spectrum of the person I was when I first decided, yeah, I'm going to be a writer.
And I understand that completely because I was a huge reader when I was growing up, when I was a kid. I loved fantasy, love, love, love fantasy books. And then as I got older in high school and college, it felt like people looked down on you if you told them you read anything other than like The Great Gatsby and Of Mice and Men
Exactly.
and these kinds of books. And it's like, that's not what I enjoy reading. And so I kind of lost the love for it. And it, you know, it was only recently, probably 2018, when I started reading again. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I don't care if people look down on me. This is what I love to read. I love romance. I love fantasy. Like, screw it. I'm gonna read it. So I'm glad you came back from that. I'm glad you started writing what you love because your books are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
And your current romances are kind of published through Forever Publishing, which I love Forever. I love the team. They're a fantastic group of people. And you have Pardon My Frenchie, which I'm very excited to talk about. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That's coming out in June. But in addition to your adult romances, you also write for Disney and their Twisted Tales series. You have Fate Be Changed, Merida retelling out on April 2nd. And also the Tiana one,
Yes.
Almost There, is one of my favorite Twisted Tales books.
Thank you.
And for whatever reason, like it didn't, I didn't put two and two together that it was yours until I was trying to find books to take to Steamy LitCon last year when I met you. And I was like, oh my God, she wrote this one. I love this one. It's freaking fantastic. And I love Fate Be Changed. But how did you become involved with the Disney series? And can you talk a little bit more about that process?
You know, I did not think I would write young adult at all either. I actually approached Disney because a friend who writes for them, she found out about their adult romance series, the Meant to Be series.
I
It's
love that series.
exactly, you know, she knew I was a huge Disney fan. She knew I was from New Orleans. She knew, you know, she just said, you would be perfect for that book. You need to write the Tiana Meant to Be book. So I had my agent put together like an entire package telling Disney why I should be the one to write this book. And they just basically said, no, we do not want her to write this book. However, we have this young adult series and we've been looking for someone to write the Tiana book. And when they asked, I just said, sure. And then I thought, what did you just do? You do not write young adult. You know, it's truly everything that I said I would never write. It's historical, it has these paranormal elements to it, it's young adult. I never said I would never write young adult, but I kind of put that dream out of my head. So it was bananas that I now found myself writing this book that was so different from anything I ever thought I would publish. But it was like one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, I think, because it's just been so much fun. It's been so much fun writing these young adult books. It really has.
That's so freaking cool. And as a big Disney fan, that has got to be such a cool thing to say. I wrote one of the Twisted Tales, because so many readers know that series and they recognize those stories. When it came to Merida's book, did you put together a proposal again and say, hey, I'm interested in writing this, or did they approach you?
Well, when I signed the contract for Almost There, I signed it as a 2-book contract. And we talked about we knew I was going to do the Tiana book, and there was just a little discussion about which other book I would do. But when they said Merida, because she is one of my favorite Disney princesses by far, I was like, yes, I want to do that. If I'm going to write historicals, let it be 10th century Scotland, please. Because I just think that she's such like a badass when it comes to the princesses. I feel very lucky that I get to write like who I think two of the strongest princesses for Disney. So yeah, it was very quickly it was decided that I would do Merida's book.
That's so freaking cool. That is just such a cool freaking thing to be able, like I said, to be like, yeah, I write the Twisted Tales. No, like we kind of mentioned earlier, the Twisted Tales, they are classified as young adult, but like I said earlier as well, your romances are adult. And because you mentioned that you never thought you were going to write young adult, so how was it going back and forth between writing YA and adult, and kind of like what are the pros and cons in terms of like the themes, the writing, are there differences that you notice?
Yeah, for me, it has become it's like a palate cleanser. It's actually worked out really well for me because I'd written like 40 romances or so before Almost There. And while I could write 400 romances and never get tired of the genre, you do kind of, you think to yourself, oh, I just wrote an enemies to lovers. I need to try another trope. But it's like you can kind of get a little tired of it. And with this one, it's just like this great way to get out of my romance mind when I go to the young adults, even though there is a little romance in each of the young adult books I've written so far, because there's the little hints of romance in Almost There. I actually think that in Fate Be Changed, you have even more of it because it's kind of an enemies to lovers between Merida's parents in that one. But it is, I like the balance between the two. One kind of funny story, there is a scene in Fate Be Changed where my editor, she sent me a message saying, I kind of toned down the innuendo in this scene because it got a little further than it was supposed to. They're like making a fire, and I kind of got a little far when it came to, yeah, the innuendo with the fire making and stuff. And I went back and I reread what I'd written, and I could still feel my face like flaming up. I was like, Farrah, what were you thinking? It's like I totally went into romance mode and forgot for a minute that it was a young adult. Still very embarrassing, but it's also one of my favorite scenes. I think it's cute. So there was
Hey,
that.
that's why you have an editor, right? That's
Exactly.
why you have an
Fine.
editor. Because sometimes that kind of stuff just sneaks in and you don't even realize it.
Exactly. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for my editor.
Now, kind of at its core, just like the movie, Fate Be Changed, it's about this relationship between, yes, it's about the relationship between her parents and that kind of stuff, but about a mother and a daughter. Why did you choose to still explore this relationship like they do in the movie? And what were some of the themes or issues that you knew you wanted to focus on between them?
Well, the thing is, it's such a core principle in the movie. That's what the movie is about. And when it comes to the Twisted Tales for me, it's like, I want to put fun twist on the original stories, but I still like the thought of keeping that core, the core message. And with theirs, I really wanted to get more into Eleanor and explaining how she became the queen that she is, and for Merida to see why her mother. So that's why I get so much into her background with her own mother, because I think that it's a good way to explain how she became the person that she is, and to give Merida a little insight into her mother that she doesn't really get in the movie. I had a fun time exploring it and just showing how Eleanor was, how alike they were as teens, because Eleanor is kind of, she realizes, Merida realizes her mother was kind of the same way as she was, somewhat of a rebel, but she decided to live up to what they expected of her, and of her position. So yeah, for me, that was like just a great way to explore that relationship between the two and just opening Meredith's eyes a bit.
Now, the book is a multi POV book. So, did you know, like, straight from the beginning that you wanted to do different POVs?
I actually originally I was going to have PO I was going to have like three, because I was going to do Fergus as well, but I didn't at the because it's just Merida and Eleanor who you get their point of views. But I think you had to in order to really get the emotion across. For me, I had to do Eleanor's point of view. I just didn't think I would be able to deliver the same way if you were seeing these things through Merida's eyes. And I like, I love books that are the first person in one person's point of view. But I'm always intimidated at trying to write that. So for me, points of view is also a way to, make sure it's not going to be boring. Make sure, just for me personally as a writer, I rather write multiple points of view. So.
Well, and especially because, like we just said, this book is about the relationship between Merida and Eleanor, but it's also about the relationship between Eleanor and her mom and the similarities between Merida and Eleanor when they were the same age. And I really think the dual POVs really allows the reader to explore that. And it makes sense, I think, for the story. So I'm really glad you did two POVs, because it was just fun to be able to see Eleanor's point of view, and the stuff that happened to her. Now, in the book, Merida ends up messing up basically the meet cute of her parents, and it ends up throwing several different wrenches into their love story and subsequently Merida's future. So, where did the idea of bringing her parents, of separating them and then bringing them together come from? How did you choose to go that route with the story?
Well, if anyone is a Michael J. Fox fan, they will realize that this story was heavily influenced by my love of Back to the Future. That is big. I just thought, wouldn't it be fun to do like a Back to the Future? But again, she goes back to 10th century Scotland when her parents were on opposing clans. And, it's to me, it was the story is already so rich. That showing that whole, there's the castle intrigue that you get in it. There's the two different clans, and they do give you, well, there's a bunch of different clans, but in Brave, they give you a little taste of how it was her father who helped bring the clans together and such, but you didn't really get the idea of the opposing clans and how chaotic it was for them. And I thought it would just be pretty cool to explore that. And yeah, to have that element of how kind of like the butterfly effect, how one little thing that you do can just absolutely change everything. So yeah, that was just for me something fun, and to yeah, give an ode to Back to the Future, because it was
Right.
back when VHS was a thing, it was one of those that got Like all summer long, it was just background noise.
Yep, 100%. All the days of VHS.
Yes.
God, we had so many, and I had like the OG Disney ones, you
Oh,
know.
yeah.
And I found those recently, and I was like, oh my God, I want to keep those just because I don't even have a VHS player anymore. But I'm
Isn't
pretty
that?
sure I have them somewhere in my house just because I refuse to get rid of them.
Yeah, they're at
Now,
my parents' house. We have them all.
right? You can't. You.
Yeah.
It's a nostalgia thing.
Yep.
Now, if you could write another Disney princess book, another Twisted Tales book that hasn't been written, what would you write? What
It's
would you want to
funny
write?
because I am writing more Twisted Tales, but I can't
Oh,
say.
but you can't say anything.
I can't say anything. Disney is very, yeah, it's they're very much, we have to announce, the Twisted Tales. I didn't know that before. That's why I did announce that I was writing Tiana before they did, and I was told. No, we do the announcing. So yeah,
Let's
I don't
rephrase this
know.
thing because I don't want to get you into trouble.
Well, I
So,
won't say the ones that I am
okay,
writing,
yeah, don't say those.
but I would love for them to like just twist every movie that they've ever made. I would love to do like a Dumbo Twisted Tale if his mom had lived, and there's like so much there, and just characters that you never would think that they would do Twisted Tales for. I think that you could actually do a Twisted Tale for just about everything. So yeah, they've already done some really great ones. Like some of my favorites have already been twisted. But Toy Story has never been twisted, and there's just like a lot of there's so many. I think the series could go on and on and on. Because yeah, it's just fun, and there are so many other twists. I tell you, there are things that could have been done in the Tiana book that I think they could do a twist. Charlotte can be the primary
Oh,
character in a
that would
twist.
be
Yeah,
cool.
I think it would be too. There's a lot of ways to twist even stories that's been twisted already. So I don't know, but yeah, I do have more. I do have more that I am writing. So
Yay!
for those, I don't even know when they're going to come out, but they are going to eventually, I'm sure.
Awesome. Okay, so let's rephrase this. So if you could write a twisted tale that has already been published, like they gave you, like we just talked about with Tiana's story, you know, you twist it a different way. Which one would you do? Whose story would you do?
I would probably do Belle, even though I did the Belle story in the anthology that I quickly jumped on Belle because she's my favorite. Don't tell Tiana. Belle is my favorite because she's a book lover. So I probably would do, I don't know what I would do as a twist for it, but I would love to just twist Beauty and the Beast because I just loved Beauty and the Beast so much. So yeah, if I could twist an original tale into something else that hasn't been twisted already, that's the
It
one I
would be
would
that one.
choose.
Oh yeah. Beauty and the Beast was my favorite as a kid. I am amazed my parents never broke my VHS because of how often it was in the player. Like,
Yeah.
but same thing. I have been a Belle fan like my entire freaking life. My book that I'm currently querying, it's a YA fantasy. It's a gender swapped Beauty and the Beast retelling. Like, I love Beauty and the Beast. And you gotta love the library, right?
Exactly.
You gotta love the
Yeah.
library.
The first time I saw that library, I was just like, she's the luckiest girl ever.
Right, that is literal goals. There was someone I saw on in I think it was Instagram. They built the Beast Castle out of like in their Sims game, and they did like the library, and it was so freaking cool. Like, I want to play the Sims again just so
Just
I
to
could
be
have
there.
the castle, just so I could live in Beast Castle
Yeah,
and have Belle's
yeah,
library.
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think.
Now, right. Now, like I mentioned earlier, you also have Pardon My Frenchie coming out in June. So, can you tell us a little bit about this one and kind of where the inspiration came?
Yeah, so Pardon My Frenchie. It actually came from my niece's French bulldog. That was part of it. But to give you just a small rundown on the book itself, it's set in my hometown of New Orleans. So it's very fun to go back to New Orleans for this. And the female male main character for it, she is the owner of a doggy daycare. It's called Barkingham Palace because she is addicted to the royals. And everything about it is royals, royals, royals. And one of her best clients is a standard poodle named Puddin that wears a rhinestone collar and has like, it's just, everyone loves this dog except for the grandson of its owner. And when the owner, who is an older woman in New Orleans, she has to go into an assisted living facility after like she breaks her hip. She has to go there. Her grandson, who is an ex-Marine, moves to New Orleans and he reluctantly agrees to take care of this dog that he absolutely hates. They have a history together, he and the dog. Every time he would come home, the dog would do something to him. So he hates the dog for a good reason. So this one is kind of an enemies to lovers, but also kind of a grumpy sunshine because Ashante is just very, everything's always going to be all right. She's just one of those people, and he is a bit of a curmudgeon, a curmudgeon who now has to take care of this poodle that wears a rhinestone collar and that he hates. I think it's a very cute story. I loved just writing it. I just laughed with it so much. And he and the dog, I should say Duchess, who is her dog, Ashante's dog, they kind of get caught on the webcam eating a treat, like Beauty and the Beast style. A Beauty and the Beast. We were just talking about that Lady and the Tramp, which would also be a good twisted tale. They get caught eating
Right.
Lady and the Tramp style on the webcam and they kind of go viral. So that's basically the book is them going viral and Ashante and Thaddeus having to kind of go on this media junket after that goes viral. So it's a fun book, in my opinion. It is the first in the series. That's again about three women who they were college roommates, college friends, and it's like 10 years later, but they're all still good friends. So, and like I said, it's in New Orleans, which I love, and you've got an adorable French bulldog and poodle who are have their own little romance in it. It's just fun. I just needed a fun book. At the time when I wrote this book, I just needed to be able to smile. And this book just made me smile. So that's what it is. It's hopefully others will smile too as they're reading it because that's all it was for me. It was just, I need to laugh. So.
Well, you had me sold at dogs because I'm a huge dog mom. I have three dogs and I love my babies like no other. I'm a huge dog mom. You had me at Grumpy Sunshine. Like, I'm so freaking excited for this book. I emailed Dana at Forever and I was like, Dana, I'm interviewing Farah. Like, can I please have an arc of this book? I'm dying. Like, I'm a massive dog fan. I love her writing. Like, please.
I hope
Please.
she
And she's
sent
like,
it.
yes, she did. She put me on the list. I'm a part of their influencer
Oh,
program too. And I was
yes.
like, Dana, I swear, like I'm a part of Discover Forever. Like, please, please put me on the list for this. I am obsessed with the synopsis of this book. So I do want to ask though, because you did say it was a series, do the other books have dogs in them?
Yes, I'm writing the second book now. The third book is going to have the dogs here and there, but the third book, as you will find out when you read it, the third person in the trio of so Ashante was a veterinary student, Evie is a veterinarian, and Ridley is their third friend. Ridley actually hates dogs as well. So there will be dogs in her book, but she's kind of like Thaddeus is on the dog spectrum. She's this high-powered executive She kind of hates dogs too, so I still have to figure out how I'm going to basically what I'm going to do with her when it comes to the dogs. But
Love
yeah,
it.
it's another one where it's not as much, you know, with my other series, The Boyfriend Project, that trio, their friendship was like at the heart of the entire series. This one is more like you normally see in a romance, where you know the other people, they're here and there, but it's not as central. But it's still, you know, you still get to see these scenes with the girlfriends. That's just always, I always have those type of scenes in my book. So yeah, it's just fun. It's again, you know, dogs. You put a cute dog in a book and you have all those little antics, especially when it's people who are not dog people, and you see how the dogs eventually win them over. That's one of my favorite things with Pardon My Frenchie, how that is, you know, eventually they end up sitting on the couch looking at ESPN together, he and this dog that he hates, you know. It's one of those things, yeah.
That's chef's kiss. That's
Yeah.
perfect right there. That's absolutely perfect. I'm so freaking excited. So let's transition to our closing questions. You can be as open with these or as short as you want. What is your favorite genre to read? Like, if you could only read one for the rest of your life, what would you read?
I mean, it would have to be romance, absolutely. Yeah.
What is your favorite? What's your favorite, like, subgenre? Like, do you like historical? Do you like contemporary? Do you like rom-com?
Yeah, I have
Paranormal?
phases. I have phases. I used to, it used to be historicals for a long time. Then I got into a huge paranormal thing, but lately it's just been contemporary romance. Oh, and like romantic suspense. I remember, like years ago, that's all I wanted. I would consume them. So I kind of go through waves, but I've been on contemporary romances for a while now. So I'll probably stick with that. But then sometimes I'm just like, you know, oh, I haven't read a good historical in a while. So I'll go and pick one up. As long as it's romance, I will read it. Yeah.
So, if you could recommend one romance author for someone to read, who would you recommend?
So all those that I cut my romance teeth on are like their books would send today's reader screaming for the doors. So I can't say any of them. However, let's see, if I had to pick one romance writer for people right now, gosh.
I know it's hard because there's a
I
lot of really good
know, I
ones.
know. You know, I think Sanethia Williams writes for Harlequin, Mira, or HQN, or something like that. But I've enjoyed her. I used to enjoy her category romances, and now I really just enjoy her contemporary romances that she does, because they're kind of small town, but they have a little drama to them. I'm not a big, like, you know, the housewives of whatever county you were in or whatever. I'm not one of those people, but I kind of like messy stuff. And hers always has some kind of like messy drama in it, you know? So I don't know. I am loving hers right now. So yeah, I think Sanethia would be the one I say, you know, because I just don't hear her name mentioned as much. Because I mean, I could say Kennedy Ryan, I can say Abby Jimenez, but you know, I love those two, but everybody knows them. So I would say to give someone different that I think everyone should be reading, it would be Sanethia Williams.
I'll have to read some of her stuff because I will be the first to admit that I used to despise romance books. Like growing up, I loved my fantasy, and they always had to have some romance in them, if that makes sense.
But not
And,
romance.
but not romance. Yeah, but there had to be a love interest, or I just didn't find it worth reading, even as a kid. I mean, obviously, that romance level was vastly different than the romance I read now. But my, when I got back into reading, I started reading. I picked up a romance, and I'm not going to say who it was, but it kind of ruined the genre for me. I was just not a fan of the writing, and I was just not a fan of the book. And I was like, "This is terrible. I don't want to read this." And when I started working at Barnes and Noble,
My friend Mila, who's a huge romance reader, she was like, Megan, you need to read this book. It was the Get a Life, Eve Brown book by Talia Hibbert.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
it's the Eve Brown one. I can't remember because they're all fairly similar. But it was the Eve Brown one. And she's like, Megan, just read this damn book. And I'm like, Mila, I don't want to read a romance book. I don't like it. And she's like, just freaking read it. If you don't like it, then fine, I won't bother you again. And I read that book and I immediately bought Chloe Brown and
There's Evie, Chloe, and
Danny Brown.
yes. Oh, I was
Danny Brown.
like, Chloe
I was
Brown.
like, oh my God, who's the third one? And I immediately bought the other two and I devoured those books. They are so freaking good. And now probably 80 to 85% of what I read is romance.
It's
And
romance.
I'm hooked. So
Yeah.
it's so
You need
important
that
for people
one
to find good
book.
authors. Yep.
You need that one book
That
to
was Talia Hibbert's.
draw you in. So,
Yep.
yeah. Awesome. And thank goodness for that friend.
Right.
Thank her from me and every other romance out there. That is very cool. Yeah. Oh, it takes
Right.
one. It takes one to get a person hooked. And yeah. Yeah. That's
Do you
pretty.
remember what yours was that got you hooked?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like I said, I read old school romance writers. For me, Laverl Spencer, who has not written a book in probably 15 years or so, but I was in high school. And was it high school? I think I was like in the 8th grade. So that's high school for some, but not even, I was like 13. And my sister gave me her book, Separate Beds, and I still reread it at least once a year. I will reread
Nice.
that book. I loved it. It was, and like I said, if people read it now, it would be like she would never get to write another book because there are some horrible things that happen, that's just not acceptable. But because it was something that was so close to me, I can look over all of the bad stuff and all of those old romances that I used to read and just think it was a different time. Get past that, just remember the story, and that's who I am with it. So yeah, I figure, in 20 years people will read my books and think, oh my goodness, I can't believe they let her write that kind of stuff. Listen to how this hero is talking to her and stuff. So times change. So
I'm strange, exactly. Now, what are you currently reading and what is next on your list?
currently I am reading oh gosh, why did, like, I'm seeing the book right now. It was the Reese Witherspoon pick of last month, I think. Ashley Alston's First Lie Wins, that which is not a romance. it's not a romance. It's one of those like it's kind of a suspense or mystery or something, but it's very good. She came and spoke, and I picked up the book and I'm really enjoying it. I wish I had more reading time because I only get to read about 20 minutes before I go to bed. And next up is, once again, I can't remember the title, but it's a book for a blurb. I'm blurbing a book that's going to be coming out in the fall, I think. And it's horrible because I cannot remember the title. This would have been a great time to have the title. Oh, I can't remember. But I have Tia Williams's book on my, like, that's the next one. Ricky, A Love Song for Ricky Wilde, I think is the title. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the next one that's on my reading list. And I'm currently listening because I do both audio and, paper books. And I'm finally reading Forget Me Not by Julie Soto, which after we're done with this podcast, I'm actually going straight to my little walking path because I love when I have a good audio book because I work out more. That's when I listen to it. So thank you, Julie. You're giving my like heart a workout because I just can't wait to get back to my book.
And Forget Me Not is so good.
It
It's
really
so good.
is. Oh, I'm loving the way, I just love the flashbacks in one, in the hero's point of view while the current, I love the way she did this book. The first time I heard it, I was like, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. So yeah, I'm actually almost done with it. I'm like 70% through. So, I'll probably walk for an hour today because I want to listen, but I'm loving that one. It's a debut, and I just thought, my goodness, this is gold. Yeah.
Yeah, she's absolutely fantastic. Now, what is the most valuable piece of advice you've received in regards to your writing?
For me, it's the same advice that I give out. A friend of mine, a writing friend, told me to protect my writing voice. And I always tell that to young readers, younger writers, or I shouldn't say younger, but those who are starting out, because your writing voice is basically what makes you different from others. If you're writing whatever genre you're writing, the book has been done. Even those things that come out as, oh, this is so innovative, it's been done, it's just a little different. It's your writing voice that differentiates your book from the others. So protect that. And, if you've got a great editor, that's awesome. Listen to them, but don't let them take your writing voice. Don't let them write you out of your story. So that's it.
I like that. I'm going to take that to heart. I like that. Especially, like you said, when you get to the editing process, don't let someone take that from you.
I've got editors, critique partners, I've worked with them all. And I will take their advice if I think it's really, this will help the book. But if I know this is, no, this is just how I do my books, I know my own voice. I won't let that happen. So, yeah.
I like that. I like that. Now, if you weren't an author and education didn't matter, experience, money, salary, none of that mattered, and you could do one thing, what would it be?
Okay, my dream job, my absolute dream job is to be like a secret shopper, but for hotels. I know it's very strange.
No,
I
that
love
sounds
to travel.
amazing.
Love to travel. And I know that there are people who do this. You go to the hotel and you get to stay at the hotel, you get to get room service because you're evaluating all of these things. To me, that is like the only job. I think I have the coolest job in the world, except for that job. I'm jealous of anyone who gets to do that for a living. So that would be the job that I would probably want to do more than anything else. Yeah.
As someone who also loves to travel, that would be such a freaking cool ass job.
We're not just best friends, we're like the same people now, because
Exactly. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Pretty much. So if you could, so we're going to skip ahead to a different question because I'm going to ride that travel train. Where is a place that you haven't visited that you would like to, both domestically and internationally?
Oh, for sure. So domestically, Napa, because my other thing is wine. I love wine. And internationally, our Antarctica has been on my list for such a long time, and it is one of the most expensive vacations that you can take. So that is the one I would love to do. It would be my final continent. I am determined to go to Antarctica. I'm hoping to make it happen next year, actually. I want to do it. I want to see the penguins. And I want to say that I've been to all seven continents. So
That's so freaking cool.
I know
That's
I
so
want to.
freaking cool. And you'd get to go, down to South America, and you got to take the boat and everything. That would be cool. So you've been to basically all the other continents you said, except Antarctica.
I
Where
drove.
has been your favorite? What has been your favorite place you've visited?
Oh gosh, so many, but the one that always sticks out to me is Thailand. Thailand was just the most amazing place. The people, the food, even though I went there when it was really, really hot. I'm from the south, so it was like hot and stuff that I'm used to at home. But just, I think it really was just the people there and the architecture. We visited like all these palaces, and it was just gorgeous. Thailand, it's one of those places I would go again in a heartbeat. Italy is the one I've been to more than any other place. I too will go to Italy anytime someone says, hey, let's go on a trip somewhere. And I will just suggest, hey, what about Rome? Let's go there.
Well, when I plan my next trip, I'm gonna have to slide into your DMs or your email and ask for recommendations.
Just send me, I can tell you whatever you're in the mood for. I'll probably have, I won't say I've been there because there's like so many places to go, and I think I'm at like 27 countries or something like that. So there's so many
Nice.
more to go to. But if I have not gone, I've probably researched it because it's on my list. I'll be in Greece next month, right after my tour for Fate Be Changed. So that's another one I get to that I've never done, and I've been wanting to do it so badly. So looking forward to that.
That's so freaking cool. Oh, okay. Yeah, you and I are gonna have to talk because like you said, we're basically the same person at this point. So we're gonna have to talk because I freaking love travel and I love to plan trips that I probably won't take for 10, 15 years, but I just like planning them. And
Yes.
I was talking to my boyfriend's sister, I don't know, I think it was last week. So a couple weeks ago, my best friend and I, we got back from, we did a week in Ireland and we did a day trip to Scotland.
Oh.
And she had sent me a video. My brother's sister had, or my brother, my boyfriend's sister had sent me a video of like getting a passport filled, like the stamps. And I told her, I was like, Stephanie, you don't understand. Getting the stamps on my passport is like a legitimate like thing that I need to have. I need to have the stamps on my passport. And when we flew from Dublin to Edinburgh, my best friend and I were so mad because they didn't
They didn't
stamp our
stay.
passport because it's, you know, they over there, it's they it we didn't have to. And I was so mad. I was like, I just wanted a stamp that said I went to Scotland. Why
I've gone
couldn't
to
you guys stamp
several,
it?
yeah. I've gone to several places where they didn't stamp and they're like, oh, they're getting away from them. I'm like, why? That's like the fun
That's
part.
like, it's such a cool thing to have and a commemorative thing. So,
But I
yeah.
love Ireland. Ireland is another one of those where I could go and, oh, yeah, I loved Ireland. I want to go back so badly. Yeah, we'll
Yeah,
see.
we're gonna talk. We'll talk. We'll
We'll
talk.
talk.
Now, backtracking a little bit, because I totally went out of order. If you could invite any person over for dinner, dead or alive, who would you invite?
I would have to invite two, my mom and my sister. I've lost both of them in the last 4 years, like 2.5 years apart. And by far, they're like a package deal. I would love one more day, you know, one more night. If it was dinner, my mom would have to be the one cooking. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, my mom and my sister.
Now, if you could invite a fictional person over for dinner, who would you invite?
That is such like a good question. And there's like so many. You know, it would probably be Tiana because I'd make her cook too. I know it's awful, but
No, not at all. You, because you know that dinner would be delicious.
that's the thing. Could just I could smell it. Yes. If I could, yeah, a fictional character, yeah. I think so. And she'd have
Now
to
I'm
make
hungry.
beignets. I know it's like some beignets for dessert. Just imagine.
I
Just
love beignets, like with a passion. Whenever we go to Disneyland, because I'm in California, and
yeah.
we'll drive down to downtown Disney just to eat, and they have a little beignet place, and I get the Bananas Foster's beignet, which does not sound remotely good,
No,
I don't think.
sounds amazing to me. Well, for
Banana and vanilla, and oh my God, it is
oh,
just
yeah.
like heaven. I love
Yes.
beignets.
Bananas Foster. I mean, it was born here in New Orleans at, I think it was Galatoire's, or it's one of the famous New Orleans restaurants, Commander's Palace, or one of them. I don't know, but it's like, it's the best thing. And they
So
do it, they flambé it at the table when you go there. I have to go and look up which one it is. But I love Bananas Foster's everything. And on beignets, amazing.
it's so good. And my best friend that I just went to Ireland with, we were talking, we're like, we need to do another trip, but we need to do one like in the US. And for whatever reason, we both were like, what about New Orleans? Because neither of us have been there. So when that happens, like I said, I'm going to be hitting you up and I'm going to want some recommendations.
Yes, I am there for that. Yes.
Now, last question, what currently brings you joy?
I mean, we've talked about all the things that bring me joy, my dog, Disney, Disney cruises and planning those. That's like where I get my most joy. But to be honest, the simplest thing that brings me joy, and I didn't say this for a long time, I didn't like to even talk about it because I thought it was just really weird. Then I found out there are people like me. I love to go in my backyard, look up at the sky, and track the airplanes that are going and everywhere. I know it's weird.
It's not.
It's not weird. I know, because there are people like me. Like you see, yeah. I have my little app. I have my Flight Radar 24 app. And it's like I see a plane and I go and I see, where are they going? It's again, it's that travel thing. It's like, oh, they're going. I get a lot of flights that are going to Cancun around this time flying over my house. So everyone from up north, they go to Cancun at this time. So I love seeing those are the ones that are going to Florida. Because I know there's a kid on that plane going to Disney World. That's just where I get my joy. I know it's, yeah, I didn't share that for a long time. I did not share that part of myself, but I'm sharing it now. I'm starting to share it more because I found out there's more people that find their joy that way than I thought.
My dad and I have done that ever since I was a little kid.
Oh, I love it.
We'd look at planes because he's like my favorite travel partner is my dad, and we'd look and be like, I wonder where they're going, and then he'd look it up and it's like, oh cool, they're going to Oslo, Norway, or hey, they're going to Canada. Like it's a cool thing, but I've we're best friends, I hope you know at
We
this point. You and
are.
I are best friends. We're basically best friends at this point.
Absolutely. I love that though. I love because I do. I have my dad and I actually, he has the app. I got it for him because we're very close to the airport here in New Orleans. So we get the planes. They're like 5,000 feet in the air by the time it passes over my house. And he's like directly in line. So they're about 2,000 square feet before they, I mean, feet up in the air before they get to the airport from his house. So I'll tell him there's one coming in from Houston. And he's like, let me go outside. That makes me so happy. Such nerds. But it's true. It's me and my dad. We will, I'll tell him there's one coming. Go see.
That makes me so happy. Like you don't even know. Like my cheeks hurt from smiling. That makes me so freaking happy.
It's such a little thing, but it's just like it's the coolest. So yeah, it brings me joy. It truly does. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Farah, for being here. I'm so excited for both of these books to be out. I'm so excited to read. Pardon my Frenchie. I love Fate Be Changed. I'm so excited that you're writing more twisted tales and you're writing more romances. So just thank you so much for being here. It was an honor to meet you last year, and it was an honor to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All the same things right back at you. I hope you're going to be at Steamy Lit again this
I
coming week.
am.
Yay! I'll
Yep,
be there
I
too.
am.
So
Perfect.
see you
Well,
there.
thank you. See you there.
Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And before I sign off, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to tune in. If you want to stay up to date on episodes and announcements, please subscribe or follow me at The Real Bookish Writer or at The Well Read Podcast on Instagram. Thank you again for listening and have a magical day. See you next week.